Okay, the topic is Jesus Christ, but we're going to do it backwards today. Backwards means you're going to turn the sheet over. And we're going to do something on the back, and then we'll go back to the front. Okay? With the help of your pencil, and the good use of your intellect. Okay, we're going to talk about Jesus Christ, who is obviously the most important person that ever came to the world. He changed the world into B.C. and A.D., right? So the historical time work calendar depends upon Christ. Ad Dominum comes from Latin, from when the Lord began, came. B.C. means before Christ. So, what I'd like you to do is take your sheet and write, if you can maybe just write a line in the middle of the sheet. So I think we're going to be working on it. Two different ideas. Right in the middle of the sheet in the back, okay? There we go. Right through the middle. Okay, so you got your sheet right in the middle, dark line, okay? Or you can fold it if you like. Don't turn it an airplane though, okay? This is not LAX or Long Beach Airport, is it? Okay, so on the first part, you're going to put life of Jesus Christ. Life of Jesus Christ. So let's start with his name. His name. Any of you know what Jesus means? Any Bible scholars here? Yes? Nope. There are a lot of Christological titles, but Jesus does not mean Emmanuel actually means God with us. Yes, Antonio?
Savior.
Good. Savior. Okay, who gave that name to Jesus? There's actually two responses. You know the Bible well. Who gave that name to him? Okay, the angel gave it, and then who else? Mary and Joseph, right? But the angel gave it, said his name is Jesus because he will save the people of their sins. Luke chapter 1. Okay, some of you have also seen the name Christ, right? How's your Greek? Pretty poor, huh? Here's the Kairo. You know what Christ means? Jesus, what does Christ mean? Okay, good. Anointed one. Because they would anoint the kings, right? Remember David was anointed by Samuel and the Spirit of God rushed upon him. Anointed one. Okay, so there. So there's one of many names. Can any of you give me any other names of Jesus that are used in the Bible? There are a lot.
Rabbi?
Rabbi? It means what? Teacher, right? But another name?
Messiah.
Do you know, Jesus, what Messiah means? And it's interesting because Messiah would be the Hebrew of Christ. Interesting, right? So I could say Miguel or Mike, right? Miguel would be El Español. Mike would be the good American, right? So Messiah is actually the Hebrew. So Messiah and Christ mean the same thing. Another title for him? And oh, you're scratching your head. I thought you were about to raise your head. Okay. How about the way, the truth, the life? How about the light of the world? How about the bread of life? How about the good shepherd? How about the master? How about the Son of God? How about the Son of Mary? How about the Lamb of God? How about the Alpha and the Omega? You want me to keep going on and on and on and on? And I'm not looking either, right? I could give you 25 titles for Christ even without looking at the Bible. How about that? Let me see. I've probably read the Bible before, right? So if you read the Bible and you meditate, what happens? Your mind becomes almost like a library. Not like a library if you're open to the Holy Spirit. Sí, amigo. Cuéntame. What? The gate. That's right. You find that in John chapter 10, right? Yeah. That's right. In John chapter 10, he says about, he speaks about the good shepherd also, I'm the gate. You have to go through the gate to get into the house, right? Now, here's the big question. What's your favorite name of Jesus? I've got two. I'll say them in Spanish and see if you can interpret them into English. El amigo que nunca falla. Sabrina? And el buen pastor. Those are my two favorites right now. As I really believe in the importance of having a friendship with Christ. Do you believe in that? What about a good shepherd? After Jesus Christ, is there any other good shepherd? Peter. How about right now? The Pope. Anyone else called to be a good shepherd? How about the bishop? Are your parents called to be good shepherds? Are they? I think most of them, I know your parents, but most of them seem to be, they're working at it. And they would say that they're not perfect, but they're kind of working at it. Would you agree with that? They probably say, Father, I'm not perfect. Well, at least we're working at trying to be good shepherds. Now, can you be a good shepherd? In what way? Now I'm looking at some of you, and you're the last one in the family, right? You have a younger brother, right? You have how many younger ones? Are there three younger than you?
Four.
Oh, four. Both of you are the youngest one. How about in school? Could you be a good shepherd to someone at school? What do you think? So wherever you go, you can try to be a good shepherd to someone. Trying to bring that person to Christ, a good shepherd. Now here's a one-liner. I hope you'll be able to pick it up. To be a good shepherd to your sheep, you have to be a good sheep to the good shepherd. Uh-oh. I wonder if you could repeat that one, huh? Someone coming on a trabalengua. You know what a trabalengua is in Spanish? What's a trabalengua? Oh, it's kind of like a tongue twister, isn't it? No? For you to be a good shepherd to your sheep, you have to be good sheep to the good shepherd. What does that mean? You have to be a good shepherd to Jesus. You have to be good sheep to Jesus to be a good shepherd to others, right? Okay. Jesus, come up over here. So we've set the platform right there. Okay, let's go now to his birth. Historical line. I'll give you a historical line. Where was he born? Okay, he was born in Bethlehem. How do you say that in Spanish? Belén. What does Bethlehem mean? We mentioned this right before Christmas. I guess your memory's fading, huh? Memoria oxidada. Rusty memory, huh?
Wait, does this something have to do with bread?
Go ahead, Sabrina. You know it. It's on the very tip of your tongue. Say it. Bethlehem. Ernesto, you're a scholar in disguise. Huh? House of bread. I told you that. House of bread. Never heard that before? Man, I think I mentioned it right before Christmas. He who is the bread of life would be born in the house of bread. Very appropriate, huh? Good parallel there. Okay, so in Bethlehem he was born. Okay, let's see if we can get this right. His parents, their names? Confusion among the masses there, huh? You know. Go ahead. You look like the big thinker there. Oh, it's obvious. Who are the parents? Uriel? Okay, yeah, it's obvious. Okay, Mary. And so I don't really like it when... Wouldn't it be better to end up there says St. Joseph rather than just Joseph? Do you agree with that? Hey, give him a little bit more respect, okay? Mary and St. Joseph, okay? He's a saint, right? Is he? Who's the greatest saint in the Catholic Church? St. Joseph. He's the greatest saint. Okay. Now, there's his parents. Can any of you tell me his visitors? The richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor came to visit him. A marked contrast as we see in literature. Huh? The richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor. Richest of the rich, the poorest of the poor. Okay, so the shepherds were poor, right? Very short. Okay, the shepherds. Okay, how do they know? Was some type of email or some type of Pony Express? Or how do they know? Phone call? Okay, was the angel, and then the angels, right? There was one angel, then there was a whole choir of angels that said, glory to God in the highest and peace to men of goodwill. Today is born in Bethlehem the Savior. So they went to visit him. So it would be first the angel and then the choir of angels. Do you believe in angels? You believe in angels. That's a group of guys that are in Anaheim playing baseball, huh? That's a baseball team, right? But above and beyond those angels, angels exist, right? What's the purpose of an angel? Do you have a guardian angel? What's his purpose? Melody, do you have a guardian angel? What does he do to you? Does he help you? What else? Well said. Very good. He said, it's right way, avoiding the wrong path. Well said in one phrase. No? The devil tries to pull us off the right path. The guardian angel tries to keep us on the right path. You ever see that picture of the little boy crossing a bridge? Remember it? Can you explain any artists here, some of the artistic details in that? Yes. Okay, you're going to say that? Yeah, there's one plank, a piece of wood that's missing. What's going to happen if the kid steps there, right? Fall right over the bridge into the water. You're going to drown. You can see the angel with his wings hovering over the child to protect him. Very good image. We're that little child, and we're walking across the bridge to make to heaven, and there's a lot of empty planks, right? A lot of temptations, right? A lot of dangers. So our guardian angel wants to help us to make it across that bridge to heaven. Feel like a nice graphic image, huh? Yep. Okay. Then the name of the other ones that came, what were they? You mentioned them? Didn't you say the wise guys? No? Oh, the major, okay. Years ago, a couple of my nieces, they were about 5 years old, they said, those are the wise guys, huh? How many were there? Most likely three because of the gifts. What were the gifts they gave? Do you remember? Gold what? And Frank? Frankenstein? You said Frankenstein, didn't you? No? No? Okay. So gold, because Jesus is who? Maggie? What? King? That was on the tip of your tongue. You're about to say, how about frankincense? You will see. Jesus, did you ever use that incense pot? Yeah. Why? What does that mean? What is that? What does that white smoke symbolize? Good. Something else? What goes up?
Take our prayers up to God.
You gonna say the same thing? Yeah, our prayers. Prayers going up to who? Okay, so frankincense symbolizes Jesus is God. Okay? God. And myrrh. What's myrrh? Oops. Myrrh is. Okay, it's like perfume that they would use to anoint the dead body in the time of Jesus. So that symbolized that Jesus was man destined to die. Going to die one day. Okay, from Bethlehem, where did Jesus go next? I'll give you a hint. There was a wicked king. And his name was Harold. What was his name? Harold? What?
Harold.
Oh, Harold. Okay, got it wrong. It was Harold, not Harold, right? What did King Herod want to do?
He wanted to kill Jesus.
Why?
Because he's king and he wanted to kill him.
And he was kind of jealous that this new king was going to take his place, right? So what did he do? Did he send someone?
Yeah,
Send who? Boys or girls? Just the boys. Their age? 2 and? So what happened to Jesus? Did they kill him when he was 2? He went to Egypt? Well, how do you know? Okay, Joseph was given what? A dream, right? And what did the angel tell Joseph? To go where? To go to Egypt. Did he obey? Did he wait a couple of days or did he obey right away? Right away. So Egypt was, you would have never thought they'd go to Egypt because the Jews and the Egyptians, they didn't get along well together, did they? Remember Moses? They were enemies, so Saint Joseph just obeyed. What would happen if you had a dream tonight? Get on a plane and go to Iraq and get a parachute and just drop yourself over Baghdad, okay? Good old Baghdad. You drop, where the bat, where you have all the Muslims, okay? I don't think you'd do that, would you? It'd take a lot of faith, wouldn't it? No? Well, in a certain sense, Joseph was going to a place where there were a lot of enemies, but he trusted that God would watch over him. So he goes there, settles down, apparently finds some place to stay, probably worked as a carpenter. Then the dream came again. Herod is dead. You can go back. Got that? Okay. From there, so he goes to Egypt. Write it down. Because of Herod. Okay, then still on the first part of your page, because you have more space than I do on the blackboard, a whiteboard. From Egypt, where does he go? Jerusalem? Chicago, Jalisco, Cairo, Buenos Aires, Sudan. Are you just scratching your back? Okay. A little bit of exercise, huh? Got a sore neck, huh? What were you going to say? What were you going to say? Nothing. It looked like you were going to say nothing. That's why I asked you, okay? Okay, so he's going to go to Nazareth. Uh-huh. Now, this is interesting. Jesus. You've seen this before, right? What does that mean? You ever see that on the top of the cross? You know what that means? What does it mean? What are you going to say? Got part of it. You only got the second two letters in, and it's written in Latin, Greek, and Aramaic. Did you know that? Three different languages. Okay, it'd be Rex Judeus. What about the IN? It would be this, Jesus of Nazareth, then King of the Jews. Okay, that's what that sign means. The Jews told Pontius Pilate to take it down. He said, what is written is written. It's going to be there. So he goes to Nazareth. Now, he's in Nazareth. He's in Nazareth with his parents, Joseph and Mary. How long? Do you know? What do you think?
About 30 years.
Good. He's in Nazareth until he's about 30. Well done. Now, when he's there, this is called his private or hidden life. Private or hidden life. When you say private or hidden life, is that he did not expose himself to the whole world. But just that little town of Nazareth. Now, what did he do there? He's going to be there for 30 years of a relatively short life. What did he do there? It was a time, kind of a lazy time, didn't really do too much. I'll tell you, he prayed. He obeyed. And very, very important, another thing he did.
Carpentry.
Okay, what do we call that? W-O-R-K. What's that? He worked. Let me ask you now, what are you supposed to be doing until you leave your house and you form your own life? Are you supposed to pray? Are you? Are you supposed to obey? Yes? Are you supposed to work? So exactly what Jesus said, you're supposed to do the same thing. Wow. Isn't Jesus a great example? You have to pray. I mean, you can't pray the whole day. You have to obey. Who do you have to obey? What? Now, isn't it incredible that Jesus was God and he obeyed Mary and Joseph? That's incredible, isn't it? He's God. Don't forget. It's kind of astounding. Here you have the creator of the whole universe that has to obey these two people that he actually created. It's astounding, isn't it? He created them. He lived even before they existed. That's called humility. Humility is when you have to submit ourselves to the judgment and the command of someone else. That's humility. Okay, now what type of work did he do? Any of you know? Okay, so his work was, he was a carpenter. Explain to me what a carpenter does. What are the instruments that a carpenter is going to use? What do you think? You're not sure? An electric saw, like a jigsaw? You think he used an electric saw? Why not? Nothing wrong with an electric saw, right? Right, Antonio? You know why? Because if we didn't have modern electricity, he had to use what? A hammer? What else? Nails? What else? A saw? What else? A plane? What else? You ever been in a carpenter shop? When I was brought up and raised, my father would have, he'd have his little carpenter shop in the back of the garage where he'd be able to work and fix certain things, no? Hammer, nail, nails. Was that an easy job or a hard job? Do you think that he had muscles? Do you think he had calluses on his hands? You know what calluses are? You think that he got tired? You think he was strong? Yes. Probably very strong. You know, according to the Shroud of Turin, how tall he was according to the Shroud of Turin? 5'11¾". Which means he was almost 6 feet. Was that tall for back then? Back then, in that place, most people were smaller, so he was a tall man. He was a strong man. He was a hard worker. Do you think that when he came home after a hard day's work, he would be sweating? Think he had sawdust in his hair? Yeah, think about it. He'd be sweaty, he'd have sawdust in his hair, he'd have callous hands, he'd have muscles because he worked so hard. I mean, Jesus was a hard worker. He did that all his life until he was 30 years old. Which is most of his life. So we don't have any of this written in the gospel. We just have when Jesus was 12 years old, about your age. What happened when he was 12 years old? We have that written in the gospel. What happened to him? No? Don't remember? In the temple, right? How long was he lost? 3 days, right? 3 days he was lost, and finally Mary and Joseph found him in the temple, and he was teaching the great teachers of the law. They said, "Why have you done this to us?" And he said, "Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business?" And they did not understand these words. He went down with them, submitted to them, and grew in wisdom and grace before God and man. 12 years old. And from 12 to 30, we don't know anything about him, at least from the biblical perspective, but we know that he worked, he prayed, and he was a carpenter. Okay, now, from there, Jesus is 30. He's going to go from his private life, write this, and into his public life. From his private life into his public life. How long did this last?
3 years.
So from 30 to... What? From 30 to 33 years. So that's just 3 years in total. Was there ever anyone in the world that had such a profound influence in the world in 3 years more than Jesus Christ? 3 years, he basically changed the whole world. 3 years. Short time, isn't it? Now, in those 3 years, where was he? He was in various places. You can write these down. He was in Galilee, Samaria, also, he's going to end up in his life in a place called Jerusalem. Galilee, Samaria, he's going to end up his life in Jerusalem. Now, he carried out 3 activities. In his public life. 3 activities in public life. What were they? First of all, he spent a lot of time preaching. And teaching. Where did he do this? Did you ever hear the word a synagogue? What's a synagogue? Okay, is it exactly the temple? Okay, it's not exactly the temple, but the synagogue would be the local place of worship. Local place of worship. And all the town would have, all the Jewish towns would have a synagogue. But how many temples were there? Who was the one that built the huge temple in Jerusalem? I'll give you a hint. He's the son of King David. Do you know? Solomon. Never heard of Solomon? Okay, so there was the temple that was built by Solomon. So he'd preach in the synagogues and on the major feast day, which would be Pentecost, Passover, and the Feast of Booths, when they'd be doing the harvest. Those would be the big feast days. So he'd teach every weekend when he could in the synagogues, then he'd go to major feasts and preach in the temple. Okay, another activity that he would carry out would be, it's called exorcisms. What the heck is that, an exorcism? You know what an exorcism is? Oh, the movie. Any of you see the movie The Exorcist or The Exorcism? Yeah. Exorcism of Emily Rose. Any of you see the first one that came out? It'll scare the living daylights out of you. It's scary. I would recommend you don't see it. It's well done. And it's very realistic. No? But one came out about 3 years ago. It's called The Rite. And about 7 years ago, The Exorcism of Emily Rose. They're coming out. No? What are you going to say? Yeah. About Jesus? Oh, Jesus did a lot of exorcists. A lot of exorcists. Yeah, a lot. Almost every other page, if you read the Gospels, you see Jesus meeting someone that was possessed and Jesus expelling the devil. That was really common. You believe in the devil, right? Sabrina, you believe in the devil? Yeah. What does the devil do? Is he a liar? Does he deceive us? Try to trick us? Yeah. Does he try to make us feel depressed and discouraged? Yeah. You know, sometimes you go through depression and discouragement. Often that's the devil working on you. Try to lie to you. He's the deceiver, the liar. Now this is the way the devil works on us. I'll give you 5 or 6 different ways. Temptation, oppression, obsession, vexation, infestation, and possession. Could you repeat them? Those are the six different ways that the devil works on you. Go ahead, repeat them all. I have to repeat them. No memory here? Temptation, oppression, obsession, vexation, infestation, possession. Should I explain? Temptation. You ever have a bad thought? Ugly, bad thought go through your mind? Probably 100 a day, maybe more. The thought kind of goes like lightning across your thought. Wow, that's pretty bad. It comes like this. Sometimes it's prolonged, but you have to recognize that comes from the devil. Yeah. Okay, here's a story then, responding to you. There was a man that was talking to a priest. Are you listening? The priest said, "Did you entertain bad thoughts?" He said, "No, they entertain me." Is that funny? It's a pretty good joke, isn't it? It's a play of words, right? You get it? So if you have to know language well. Did you entertain bad thoughts? No, they entertain me. Uh-huh. So if you purposely entertain the bad thoughts, what do you think? Yeah. So if you have these thoughts going in your mind, as soon as you recognize a bad thought, what do you have to do, Sabrina? Dance with it a little bit and then kick it out? What should you do? Okay, maybe say Hail Mary, right? So try to reject it right away. If you get a bad thought, reject it right away. Because until we die, we're going to have bad thoughts. Reject it right away. What happens if it returns again? Reject it again. What happens if it keeps coming after you? Reject it again. Sometimes when you're preaching, your parents are saying, okay, you had a fight with your husband, and what are you doing? Ah, mi ex novio in Michoacán. Ooh, Luisito. ¿Habla español? What did I say? In Michoacán. Ah, what's his name? Luisito. I wonder where he is now. What? Okay. Say for example, you're 30 years old. You're a married woman with two kids, and you had a fight with your husband. Okay. You're not talking to him for a couple of days. I had a boyfriend from Anaheim. Well, that guy was great. I wonder where he is now. I'll see if I maybe can check him out on Facebook. No. Track him down, no? His name is Luis Garcia. I'm going to check it out. No? Ah, Luis. How's it going? Hey, Melody. Long time no see. How's it going, no? Before you know it, you're doing that every day. Fall in love with your ex-boyfriend. You're married with your husband with two kids. That's called cyber adultery. Yeah? You're committing adultery. On the computer. You hear that? Very common. You know, back 40 years ago, and it didn't happen. But now there's so many different ways that you can commit sin. You're talking on the phone. Okay, your boyfriend, now ex-boyfriend, now is living in Guadalajara. Have a phone call. Every day for 2 weeks, the phone call is becoming more and more romantic. Before you know it, you fall in love with the guy. And your husband? Yeah, that guy. Mr. Gordo. Mary, you're sleeping next to you, snoring like a horse, no? Got bad breath, you could kill a horse, no? And I'm married to this guy, with this guy there in Guadalajara. Boy, I really wish I were with him. Maybe I'll seek out a vacation in Guadalajara. To visit my abuelita. Yeah, the devil is sharp. You know, and the devil knows our weak point. I call it your kryptonite. You know what kryptonite is? What's that? It's your weak point, right? No, Ernesto, I know I shouldn't have done this, but when I was your age, I was a pretty good baseball player, and they told me not to throw curves. You know why? It wrecks your arm when you're only 13. I said, who cares? So they're playing Major League Pony Baseball there in New York, you know? And the first game I pitched, it was a no-hitter. You know what that is? What's a no-hitter? You know the reason why is because I'd learned the curve so well, Jesus, that the kids had never seen it before, and I was whiffing them right and left. I knew their weak point. They couldn't hit the curve. That's what the devil does. He throws a curve ball, and you've never seen it before. He wants to whiff you, strike you out. Right? So knowing your weak point. Do you know your weak point? Maybe you don't, but you should. You should know it. The devil certainly does. So there we have a brief summary of the life of Christ up to the beginning of his public life. Now we're going to go back to our sheets, and this is going to be much more theoretical. We have a good practical explanation of who Christ is. Okay, who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God made man. The chief teaching of the Catholic Church about Jesus Christ is that he is God made man. Jesus Christ is the, which person of the Trinity would he be? Second person of the Blessed Trinity. He assumed a human nature and took on flesh in order to reconcile man with God. For offenses against God can only be corrected by God. Belief in the incarnation of the Son of God is a distinctive sign of the Christian faith. What does the name Jesus mean? The name Jesus means God. What? God saves. Jesus Christ is God the Son who became man to save us. God the Son became man to make reparation for our sins to our Heavenly Father, to merit for us the divine life of sanctifying grace and the right to El Cielo, heaven. And to be a way to heaven by his example and doctrine because he made reparation for our sins, our Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of and Redeemer of all men. Reparation, what is it? To make amends for the sins or offenses against the Father. Does Christ have two distinct natures, human and divine? What do you think? Yes. Jesus Christ has two distinct natures, human and divine. He is true God and true man. Jesus Christ is God because he is the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He has the same divine nature as his Father. As God, Jesus Christ has always existed. Jesus Christ is man because he's the Son of the Blessed Virgin Mary and has a body and soul like ours. As man, he began to exist from the moment of the Incarnation. How do we call this union of two natures in one person? This union of two natures in one person is called the hypostatic union, that is a union in the person. He became man while remaining truly God. What is the incarnation? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God the Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, took a human body and soul in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This mystery is called the incarnation. It took place at the moment when the Blessed Virgin Mary agreed to become the mother of Jesus. Is Christ divided? No. These two natures don't split him 50 and 50. He is 100% man and 100% God. Some people may argue that Christ cannot be 100% of two different things, but that is not true. A person can be 100% Hispanic and 100% male, like you, right? One doesn't make the other impossible. Christ is holy God and holy man. What does the word nature mean? Christian philosophy helps us to express and understand a little the mystery, of the incarnation. This and other mysteries of our faith are expressed with ideas of nature and person. Nature means what makes anything or anyone to be what it is and to act according to what it is. It answers the question, what is this? What is this that is acting? What does the word person mean? Person means what makes someone who is endowed with intelligence and free will to be a subsistent individual, different from others of the same nature, and responsible for his own actions. It answers the question, who is this? Who is this that is acting? How did the two natures work in the same person, the second person of the Blessed Trinity? Jesus had... Go ahead, Sabrina. It's on the tip of your tongue. Go for it. Ernesto? You're feigning ignorance so the other won't feel bad, huh? Jesus had both a human intellect and a divine intellect and will. In Christ, the human intellect and will were directed by the divine intellect and will. As in us, our intellect and will should follow God's. Christ, then, was not only incapable of sinning, but also totally holy. Totally holy and the source of all holiness. As man, he knew God from the beginning, and his humanity, and exercised the divine power through his divinity. Okay, name some truths about Jesus. He is the what? Second person of the Blessed Trinity. Who's the first? God who? What? God the Father. Who's the third? Nope. God the Holy Spirit. Who's the fourth?
No one.
Okay. It's a trick question, huh? Okay, there's no fourth, okay? There's the first, the second, and the third, but there's no fourth. There's not a quatrinity. There's only a trinity, huh? Okay, is the is true God and true man. He's true God and true man. Was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Born of the Virgin Mary. We say this in the Creed every Sunday Mass, don't we? Every Sunday Mass after the priest preaches the homily, we say this Creed all together. So this is called the Creed, which means what we believe. He came to show us to be... What? Okay, holy. Came to show us how to be holy. What's the opposite of holy? Jesus? Okay. Sinful, right? Okay, evil or sinful, yeah. He came to show us God's... Mercy. Pretty good, okay, yeah, you could put love. You could put mercy, too. Saved us from our sins by His life, death, and resurrection. He came to make us partakers of the divine what? Divine nature. Okay, the second last is the blank celebrated and proclaimed in the liturgy. The mystery. Here's a question. Now, right now, what is the most powerful and intimate relationship you can have with Jesus Christ right now while you're living? Prayer, that's fine, but you can go deeper in that. The rosary is fine. There's something even more profound. Okay, but what? Okay, so the Eucharist, receiving Holy Communion, that's where you really connect with Christ most. Okay? So every time I receive the Eucharist, you know, everything we talked about here becomes a reality in your heart. Can you believe, that's incredible, isn't it? Do you believe it? That's one of the primary reasons why many Catholics leave the Catholic faith. They've never understood that. You've understood that one idea, you're never going to leave the Catholic Church. Even though you're going to have problems in your life, we all have problems. You believe that, you're never going to give up your Catholic faith. We're going to have trials. We all have to carry crosses, right? But if you believe that, you can connect with Christ in the most profound way. Every time you go to Mass and receive Holy Communion, that's the greatest. Right? Okay. Finally, he is he who, what's the word? Sent the Paraclete. What does Paraclete mean? Paraclete means it's one name for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many names, but Paraclete is one of the names of the Holy Spirit. So in about 1 hour, we've given you a course in Christology, which means who Jesus Christ is. Here you got basically the theoretical, and what you wrote down would be the practical. And you bring that all to yourself every time you receive Holy Communion. Try to receive Jesus with love. That's the key. Receive Him with love, okay? sing for him, you know, enjoy him, but receive him with love, and there's an explosion of grace. Okay, so we're going to be ending now with our prayer to Mary you have in your binders. Okay. Got it? Okay. Together, my Queen and my Mother, I give myself entirely to you. And my devotion to you. Consecrate to you. My eyes, my ears, my heart. In the name of the Father and the Son. Okay, there's going to be a handout that Lauren's going to give to all of you. It's related to pro-life. You probably know. What day is Sunday? January what? 22nd. What does it remind us of? The saddest day in the history of our country. What happened 1973, January 22nd in Washington, D.C.? What happened? What happened? Antonio? Okay, the legalization of abortion. Any of you know the technical name from, it's called the decision Roe versus Wade, right? So we wanted, you know, there's an opportunity for you to do something to promote pro-life. You had your pro-life retreat. So, get them all out?
And if you go, you get credit for 6 hours. So if you do go, you can either get a signature from an adult there, or you can take a selfie of the pro-life sign.
So 2 hours for the mass, and then 6 hours. That's huge. 8 hours in one day. And tell your mom and dad and go for it. Because you have to have service hours, and one day you got 6 hours, no? And it's going to be a great experience to really promote pro-life. So talk to your parents about that. You do that 6 of the hours. Okay, so God bless.